Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this Labor Day weekend. Several announcements. There's a lot in the bulletin. I'm just going to kind of quickly go over these. Session Council will meet September the 3rd. This is Tuesday at 7 o'clock. This is a brief meeting of the Women's Association after church today. There's also a brief meeting of the deacons outside the door over here, a quick meeting. And I want to thank all who helped put the back-to-school kits together and all who donated supplies. We met our goal of 50 kits, so that's just fantastic. And going to the food bank on Tuesday morning, vegetables will be picked up Monday evening. So very thankful of that. Directories have arrived, and you can stop by the table in North X at the back and pick up your copies. I picked mine up and looked at them, and you all look marvelous. Rally Day, September the 8th at 9:30, bagels, muffins, coffee and tea, and those type of things. You come out and meet the junior church teachers and others. Small group leaders and the Sunday morning Bible fellowship that they will be having. And we're going to institute the program where the kids come into the service for the first part of the service, and then they will slip out before the sermon comes. So they've been learning for years what we do in the worship, so they'll be able to be a part of it, and we'll see how that goes. September 15th, we are instituting a new program this year. It's the National Back to Church Sunday, and it'll fall on September the 15th. Steelers don't play, so you don't have to worry about that. They play Monday night. So come to church, invite a friend. That's part of what it's about. It's also the deacon's pig roast, so it's a great time to say come to church and some free food and fellowship, Chinese auction. So it should be a really fun-filled day. The Bible Fellowship will resume on September 15th, and I am going to start along with tying in with the back to church on the 15th, a 30-day program, and I'll talk more about it next week. But the books to be ordered is a sign-up sheet on the back table. I'm going to teach a class on Wednesday evenings. I believe it starts the 22nd. Bills will start that Sunday before. Their class is going to purchase, as a group, their books. Those coming to my house need to let me know and give me the money so I can order those. And they'll be $10 a piece. And that class will last for 5 weeks, and it'll tie along with the themes that we're going to be preaching on in church for 5 weeks, and I'll talk more about that next week. And then you can read about the deacon's coat drive and the gardeners and what the deacons need your help in. And remind you the luncheons, they still need help, and those start back. And I believe the next one is September 19th. Is that correct? September 19th, so be looking for that. Okay. So many announcements. I've been out of the habit of this for a month. It takes a while to get back into it. Remind you, do we have a crying room? Speakers in there. If you get in a coughing fit or just need to slip out, and your praise and prayer requests, you can write them down and hand them to the deacon or elder on the door. Flower dates are open. You can read about office hours. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, this is the day. It's in your book, and it's also in the screen, on the screen. Hopefully. Yay! worship, continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. We're all out of sync today. We'll get back. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for being a powerful yet loving God. We worship you for the humility Jesus showed in his life and teachings. His willingness to go to the cross was the ultimate act of being humble. Forgive us for being a haughty people. Forgive us for wanting the best seat. Teach us how to live a life that puts others first. Remind us that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. May we learn to live a life of peace, joy, gratitude, and service. Lord, help us to be humble so we may be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let's join together this morning as part of the church worldwide as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, ask them. The song for the congregational anthem is a little different this morning. The choir is going to sing, and then we will join in on the refrain, which is on the screen. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Responsive reading is an old familiar, the Beatitudes on 648, back of your hymnals. 648, the Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down.
His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are
the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted you, our prophets, who were the word.
Thank you. At this time, I'll invite the elder on the door to come forward.
Good morning.
Let's
start with the prayer requests. Leonard has given me a note that says he has three people who are in need that he would like us to keep them in prayer. They're anonymous. Paul and Diane Kocherhook have asked for prayer for their good friend Herb Seal. He's facing surgery for renal aneurysm. Kathy Segi is requesting prayer for her cousin Barb Worson, that she may heal from more complications from her broken femur. She's currently in Forbes Regional. Kathy's also asking for prayers for her mom, Cora Swedko, for pain relief and a bad cough that it does not develop into an infection. Kathy is asking for prayer for herself for pain relief from a back injury and breathing issues. And also prayers for Marie Yates on her recent loss of her son, Bill. Keep her in your prayers during this time. And I have a prayer request for a good friend of our family. She and her husband have three lovely children that they've raised. And they've also, in the last 5 years, taken in three foster children, which they're now raising. And her husband was recently diagnosed with leukemia. So they're dealing with that issue right now. And then we have a praise request from Adele Miller. She is asking for thanks for all the prayers that we had for her. The aneurysm that she has did not grow, and she just wants to thank everybody for all of their prayers, and God bless all of you. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Anna. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll invite you to say the Lord's Prayer, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we live this life on the side of heaven, we know life has its ups and downs, its times of celebration, this time of mourning. That's just the way that it is. Good things happen to bad people and vice versa. But we don't like to see people in pain, whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, financial, relationship. We ask you to get involved in our lives, the lives of our loved ones, the lives of the ones that we are mentioning in prayer, and help to work out these situations. Send your Holy Spirit, send angels where needed to watch out. We know that you are loving and a caring and a kind God who brings about salvation, the promise of eternal life. You've shown that to us through the Word. how Jesus paid the debt of our sins that we could not pay ourselves. Help us to hold on to that with a sense of grace and love, and extend that grace and mercy and love to others by praying for them, by doing our best to love them and to forgive them, and invite others to church, to Bible study, to fellowship, to our dinners. We have the chance as the Church of Jesus Christ to minister to them, to help them on the road to recovery, on the road to salvation. Heal them, Lord, but also heal us in whatever way that we might be broken this day. Thank you for every good and kind, loving thing that you do for us, even when we don't recognize it or acknowledge it, which is probably most of the time. But we thank you this day. Thank you for your help. Thank you for all the things that we can celebrate together as the Church of Jesus Christ. And thank you for the way you taught your disciples, and then you taught them to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, an old-time favorite, 342, Just As I Am. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship together as community, the opportunity to love one another and to love you. So we bring our gifts into your house. We bring our monies, but we bring far more than money. We bring our lives and seek to dedicate our lives to you. Not for our glory, not so we'll receive a pat on our back in this life, but for our eternal reward in heaven. So all the things that we do, working on the luncheons, teaching classes, working in the garden, mowing the grass, picking up trash around the building, helping with the directory, singing in the choir, working with junior church, on the board of deacons, women's group, the elders, and I leave out so much because there's so many things that this congregation does and many do not get any recognition at all. But Lord, I know that you recognize them. Bless them this day and for their lives. In the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. How to stay humble, from Luke 14:1 and then 7:14. One easy way is become a Presbyterian minister and just make an idiot in front of yourself time after time again in front of the congregation. It'll keep you humble. I highly recommend it. Listen this morning for God's word to you. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor for the person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat," then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do so, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Well, college football season has started back up. Anybody watch any games? Your favorite teams win? My two won this weekend. South Carolina Gamecocks won. Clemson Tigers beat Georgia last night, so I'm a happy camper. We've been watching, checking out the scores, thinking about football. And I found this example about Coach Jordan at Auburn University, who a couple years ago, you know, they won the national title. And he asked his former linebacker, Mike Collin, who was playing for the Miami Dolphins, if he would help his alma mater do some recruiting. Mike said, "Sure, Coach, what kind of player are you looking for?" He said, "Well, Mike, you know, there's that fellow, you knock him down, and he just stays down." And Mike said, "We don't want him to coach." He said, "No, that's right." "Then there's that fellow, you knock him down and he gets back up. You knock him down again and he stays down." He said, "We don't want him either, do we, coach?" He said, "That's right, Mike, we don't want him." "So then there's that player, you knock him down, he gets back up. You knock him down, he gets back up. You knock him down again, he gets back up." "That's the kind of player we want." He said, "No, Mike, that's not the kind of player we want either." We said, "Well, what kind of player do you want?" He said, "I want the player that's knocking everybody down. That's who we want. That's the guy that you and I want to be seen with in life. We want to invite to our dinners, our social gatherings, because deep down, it is the kind of people that we want to know and be associated with if we can. We don't want to be seen with the guys who are always being knocked down, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the mentally ill. But these are the very people that we are encouraged as church members, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to be with, to associate with at times. Look with me as we examine Jesus' story about this party. As the guests arrive, they're quickly grabbing the front row seats, the places of honor. Assuming they are the most important guests, they will soon be embarrassed, Jesus says, by someone more distinguished. They will be asked to get up and move to the end of the table, and everybody will see what happens, and they will be dishonored before everyone. Now, how do they avoid humiliation? How do you stay humble in a haughty world that wants to honor people? There are two things that we must do. First, don't put yourself in a position to eat humble pie. And there's a joke around here, if you just bring me a pie, we'll cut the service short. Well, since I've already eaten humble pie in the service today, we'll get out early. Short service, or sermon anyway. It is the bane of the church, and it is the bane of most businesses. We want to be seen as more important than the other guy. It is sad that even in our families and our friendships, we're always contending to try to one-up friends, family, business associates. And Jesus encountered it at the dinner at church. Remember the scene with me. After synagogue services, Jesus attends a dinner in a man's house who is known throughout the community as an upstanding Pharisee, a religious leader. As he arrives, he is being watched, and he likes to stir up controversy, and he's done it before, and he might do something to raise the eyebrows of the people at the dinner party. Not wishing to disappoint the prying eyes that are there, he poses a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And no one says a word. You may recall that in Luke 13, the previous chapter, Jesus has already answered that question. Is it legal to heal on the Sabbath because people are more important than rules? And sometimes we forget that. We want the rules to be the most important thing. But Jesus wants to press the issue once again. So at the dinner party, he singles out the man sitting right in front of him who is suffering from dropsy or edema and heals him right on the spot. To the owner of the home, it is an affront. Jesus broke a commandment in front of a distinguished Pharisee. I can imagine the atmosphere could be cut with a knife. It's interesting to note that neither this man nor the hunchback woman who asked to be healed, neither asked to be healed. The point here is not about the healing. The point is that the people must take precedence over the rules. Sometimes we let the rules stand in the way of what God wants. Just at that moment, the momentum shifts. Dinner is served, and it is time to grab a seat. When I read this story, I think about the game that we play with the musical chairs. You march around the chairs, the music stops, and you have to jump into a chair. Kind of felt like that's the way the dinner party was. Kind of mingling around, it's time to sit down, and everybody's making a rush to the head table to be noticed. If I can sit near the guests, I will look like a person of respect and honor, and I know them, I'm close to them. You would think that Jesus would leave well enough alone. But noticing the mad scramble to grab the seats closest to the host, the place of honor, he gives a couple of pieces of advice. The first is given to the guest. When you're invited to a wedding and it comes time for dinner, don't take the place of honor. Otherwise, someone more important will arrive late. You'll be sitting in that seat and you will be asked to move. You'll be insulted, embarrassed, and you'll be dishonored before everyone. I like the story the historians tell about the funeral of Charlemagne. Charlemagne was the greatest Christian ruler of the Middle Ages. After his death, a mighty funeral procession left his castle for the cathedral. When the royal casket arrived with a lot of pomp and circumstances, it was met by the local bishop who barred the cathedral doors. The bishop asked, "Who comes?" as was the custom to do. "Charlemagne, Lord and King of the Holy Roman Empire," proclaimed the emperor's proud herald. "Him I know not," the bishop replied. "Who comes?" The herald by this time is a little bit shaken. "Charles the Great, a good and honest man of the earth." "Him I know not. Who comes?" The herald, now completely crushed, responded, "Charles, a lowly sinner who begs the gift of Christ." To which the bishop responds, "Enter, receive Christ's gift of life." Even Charlemagne, in all his glory and good works, could not assume a more greater position of honor. And I am convinced that the more honor due us, the more we should resist that honor. Does that mean that we shouldn't be proud of our accomplishments? Not at all. We should be proud of it. But we should allow other people to be patting us on the back and not patting ourselves on the back. The book of Proverbs has a very terse reminder. Pride comes before a fall. And I think of just watching a few football, watching Johnny Manziel and his attitude in the football game being taken out, the Heisman Trophy winner from last year, starting to feel sorry for him. So how do you stay humble? First, you don't seek for yourself, and second, expect to be honored in the next life. Don't expect it, don't seek it in this life. This is Jesus' second piece of advice, and it's given to the Pharisee, the man hosting the party. Don't throw dinner parties for your friends and family and rich neighbors, because they will invite you to their table because they're doing it in response and you're just trying to get something back. The poor, the hurting, the downtrodden will not be able to pay you back. You'll be paid back instead at the time of the resurrection. So what is Jesus' point? Is he saying we're not to throw parties for friends? Now, that's not what he's driving at. Of course we can have parties for friends and invite our family and our friends and Thanksgiving dinners and Saturday night gatherings, whatever. Of course we can. The meaning here really is this. Kindness to people who cannot repay us is kindness to people who can repay us is not charity. I do for you, and you do for me, and I'll collect later. It almost makes me think of a mob movie. You know, Vinny, you do this for me now. You know, you'll owe me, you know. I'll get it back from you later. Like an Italian mob thing. No affront to any Italians. There's all kind of mobs. Jewish mobs. Irish mobs. I should have stuck with Irish. I'm part Irish. Pleasing God means helping those who have absolutely no way of paying us back. Mother Teresa was once asked, "How do you measure the success of your work?" And she thought about the question. She gave her interview a puzzled look and said, "I don't remember that the Lord ever spoke about success." And we're consumed with success in America. He spoke only of faithfulness in love. This is the only success that really, really counts. Jesus is saying, in essence, don't do things that bring you honor of men. Do things which God will honor you. Thomas Carlyle, the British historian, put it succinctly, "Show me the man that you honor, and I will know the kind of man that you are." In other words, who are you looking up to? Who are you honoring in your life? Why are we Christians asked to take the seats of least honor? Why are we Christians asked to give expecting nothing in return? Being a disciple of Jesus is a reminder of why we're asked to behave in this way. Attending church reminds us that Jesus did not choose a palace, but a stable in which to be born. He did not choose the priesthood, but he chose carpentry as his profession. He did not choose world leaders, but world losers, really, to develop his plan of evangelism for the world. He did not choose a throne, but a cross from which to govern. So I ask you this morning, what is your choice? Are you willing to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God? And are you willing to be humble before other people so that God can raise you up, maybe in this life, but more importantly, in the life to come? Are you willing to be humble? May God bless you. Amen. A hymn of response, if my people's hearts are humbled, 574. And while we're singing that, I'm going to just see if I can get my video to come up. I think I know what I did wrong. Now it came on. It's a good thing I don't have a gun and shoot it. I've never seen anything like this before.
Something cool at our church.
tricked you, didn't you? Tricked me the first time I saw it. Did not expect that. Well, thanks for putting up with me this morning. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope you go away thinking about your relationship with God, thinking about being humble and about worshiping God, and think about inviting someone to Glenshaw Valley. This is a great church. We're a great group of people. Are we perfect? No. But none of the churches around us are either, because they're filled with people, and people are imperfect. But together, we can work to build a better church, a better neighborhood, better families, and a better kingdom for God. So let's go out into the world and help change the world. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.